I think maybe we should, I was wondering who we should pick on, you know, to say the memory verse. Should we start from the front and go to the back? Or should we start from the back and go to the front?
Well, you're on the front, so.
Actually, I didn't do much. Actually, I was thinking this morning, who am I going to pick? And then I says, you probably should pick yourself. And I said, boy, I didn't really do much cramming for this. So I'll try it. You'll have to help me because I know I'm going to make a bunch of mistakes, okay? Ephesians 3. Yeah, whole chapter, remember? We're going to pick on it. Each week we're going to pick on somebody to say it. Okay, so I'm gonna try, but you'll have to help me because I'm gonna make some mistakes because I didn't cram for this morning. For this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner, the prisoner for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me, as I wrote afore with few words. Which has given me to you word, okay? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the gospel by Christ. By the gospel. In Christ, by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, according to the effectual working of his power. Was this grace, is that right? Given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which hath been hid in God, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have confidence and boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the depth and length, depth and length and height. Breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory Unto him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ, world without end.
By Christ Jesus,
world without end. Throughout all ages. Amen. So, number of mistakes, but... Okay, so we're in Ephesians 1 now, right? Verses, first four verses, I don't remember. Is that what it says? Okay. Okay. Oh yeah, next week it's 1 through 6. Today it was 1 through 3. Okay, so let's say it. Ephesians 1, 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. According to the, by the will of God. Let's start over, okay? Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful which are in grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, middle of the sentence. All right, well, 1 through 6 next week, and hopefully I will do better, and we'll all do better on that great passage of Scripture. Our goal, have the whole book of Ephesians memorized by the end of the school year. So we'll make it. All right? Matt, lead us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this time we can come to you and open your word. We pray that you would give Pastor the wisdom and the word to say, Lord. We pray you just bless this time and give the hearer the right response, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Okay, next week we have an assignment. Okay, and we're gonna have a quiz, and you get to turn in your quiz. So I hope you will be studying, because next week we are going. For next week, I want you, without looking at the Bible, to repeat. Oh, Thomas isn't here. Matt, you're a substitute. Could you get the board, please? Okay, we're going to have you memorize the conditions, the requirements given by God in order to profitably read God's Word. Okay? The requirements given by God in order for a person to profitably read the Word of God. Okay? Thank you very much. Okay? So we're going to go back to Proverbs 2 quickly. Now that's your assignment. Memorize the requirements of the given by God in order to profitably read the Word of God. Okay? So in Proverbs chapter 2, notice those requirements. Okay, should we write them down? Okay. Okay, number one is what? Will what? Receive. Help me. My words. Okay. Will receive God's words. Okay. So there has to be an inward reception. Okay, what's the second one? Hide. Okay, in other words, to have have without looking. Okay? In other words, we call it instant recall. We would call it, it would be called knowing what they are without looking at them. Okay? So that's memorizing. What's the next one? Incline, isn't it? Incline your ear. Means a willful decision. Well, that's a repetition, isn't it? Incline your willful decision to listen closely. Okay, what's the next one? I don't hear anybody. Anybody awake today? Huh? Apply. Who? Okay. Okay, apply means to think upon, meditate upon, and apply to specifics maybe we a big word that's good individualize what does that mean? That means apply it to my life. Okay? Got to apply it to my life. All right? Individualize. Okay? What's the next one? If you cry. Number five is cry. Cry unto God. Cry unto God. Cry unto God for wisdom. Okay? What does that mean? Pray earnestly. What's the next one? This probably is getting kind of low, huh? Six. Search. Okay? Search her. Oh, yes. Okay? Search and, well, search. Well, I'll put that one first, right? Okay, that speaks about inward desire, doesn't it? Okay, and then search. This speaks of effort. Effort. Okay? We would like to have the Bible written in the Western mind. Okay? I'm glad it's not written like a computer manual, because I would be lost. Okay? But how is it written? It is written, what does the Bible say in Isaiah? It says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it says, in the same context, it says that's the reason why the wicked can't find the truth from the Bible. You know why? Because here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. And what does the wicked want? The wicked wants a verse. Of course, we know, for instance, Deuteronomy 22:5 doesn't do any good. Give them a verse. They don't want a verse. They're just pretending they want a verse. But they don't want a verse. But they say, boy, if I could have a verse in the Bible that says, you know, the Book of Mormon is a fraud, you know. Well, this is, well, maybe they would believe. No, they don't. This Bible isn't written that way, is it? And so it takes effort. So we have these seven conditions here. And so we'll receive God's words. We'll hide them in your heart. We'll incline your ear. A decision to listen closely. Applying them. Crying unto God. Seeking. Speaks of inward desire. Searching the effort. Okay, so seven things. And that will be our quiz next week, and you'll turn it in. Okay? So I hope everybody gets 100. You know, when I was in school, if the teacher gave the answer ahead of the quiz, it was just expected that everybody would get 100. Because you knew the answers, right? Isn't that right? You know, if you didn't know what the answers were, well, then there's a chance you might not get 100. But if you know what all the answers are, boy, the teacher give you all the answers. You say, boy, this is a cinch, you know. And you wouldn't even have to, you wouldn't have to hardly study, you know. Because, you know, when you study for what you don't, if you don't know what's on the test, you study everything, right? But when you know what's on the test, you just study what you have to know, and that's real simple. Okay, so we'll take a quiz next week. Okay, so now, what did I just do with our lesson? I had it here. You have it, right? How could I lose it that quickly? I do those things now and then. I got it. How about that? I found. Thank you, sir. You are very generous. Okay. So we're in Proverbs 2. Let's talk about discernment. We talked about this last week, but the greatest need of mankind is spiritual. And the greatest need of mankind is spiritual discernment. All right? Now that we're taking the offering, that's all right. I'm just thinking. I wanted to make sure that we prayed. Then I remembered Matthew prayed. So thank you. Last week I got so going that we didn't pray till too late. Okay. So how much discernment are you born with? Zero. Okay. So people are not born with discernment. That's a very serious truth. Okay? And the Bible tells us the only condition under which we get discernment. Now, We just had the requirements of getting discernment. And we talked about last week. We have the if, verse 1. Okay? Verse 5, we have the then. And then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find out the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Okay? Now, verse 8 and 9, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Okay? Now, it is telling us, okay, it is telling us what discernment does, okay? And in verse 12, that's where our lesson is starting, it tells us what discernment does. It says, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their path. So first of all, we have discretion, the result of wisdom, gives us deliverance from the way of evil men. All right? Now notice some of the things that it tells us. It says to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. So first of all, let's talk about the words of the evil man. Let's talk about the words of the evil man. All right? What are the words of the scoffer? I had some verses down on it. What are the words of the scoffer? Okay, can you recognize wisdom causes a person to be able to recognize the words of the scoffer? Okay. Let's go to some verses. Let's see about the scoffer. Proverbs 9. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. What does that tell us about the scorner? Okay? He's not going to listen. But, all right. But I see something that's really important for people to see about the scorner. Same thing. Okay? Thanks. What I see is the scorner has the unique ability to turn it around. The scorner has the unique ability to turn it around. Okay? How would I describe that? Here is the authority trying to correct the scorner. And what happens? What happens to the person who is trying to correct the scorner. It says he gets himself what? A blot. Who? Not the scorner. Who? The authority. The authority. You know, when you deal with a scorner and you're an authority, guess what happens? The parents come to you and you're the problem. You're the problem. And I don't know how many times dealing with a scorner that I ended up having to apologize. Now I finally look back and realize what the real problem was. You know, the parent who comes to the rescue of a child when an authority is dealing with them, they turn it around. They turn it around. You know, that's kind of a magical ability, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a magical ability to take the one who's trying to correct a problem and make them the problem. And the scorner effectively does it. They effectively do it. And so the scorner, they will spread the word, hey, that teacher. And they'll make that teacher, you know, you name it. Okay, Mrs. Wright. That's a good question. That's a good answer. They are the authority, aren't they? Yeah. So, that's interesting. And you know, if you deal with children, and even your own children, that one of the things they like to do as sinners is they like to turn it around, don't they? You know, you try to deal with them, and what do? They want to switch the subject and they want to talk about something else because they want to incriminate you rather than them being dealt with. You know? It's amazing. Okay? So, the scorner. Let's look at 22 and verse 10. So the scorner... The characteristic of the scorner is that they have the ability, magical ability, to make the person who's trying to correct the problem, the problem. Okay? They're the problem. The authority is the problem. Okay? All right? Proverbs 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. What does it tell us about the scorner? What always comes with the scorner? Contention. Contention. You know, what it's saying is that, you know, once in a while, you finally get your life together, and your brain comes together, and you realize, hey, you know what? Wherever that person is, there's always contention. You know, there's just something about that person. Wherever they go, there's trouble. And you know, because the words of a scorner are powerful words. They can undermine with one statement more than 100 good words. They have this power. Okay? Now, what we're saying is that wisdom, what does wisdom do? Remember the context. Wisdom delivers a person from the scorner. The wisdom enters into their life so they are delivered from the effect and the power of the words of the scorner. It's a real power. Okay? And many people are slain by the words of a scorner. You get one scorner in a group of young people, they control the whole thing. And they don't have to even say anything. All they have to do is look. And they can look at a person, and they can look at the young people, or young people can look at them, and they're afraid because those words are powerful. Yes?
Can a parent turn a scorner around, or is that all up to God?
Certainly a scorner can be turned around.
Right, but can the parent do it?
They're going to have a lot of work, but they can do it. Yeah. They can do it. It has to be done.
Yeah.
It has to be done. Otherwise, that person is not only going to destroy their life, but they're going to destroy a multitude of other lives. The biggest problem with a scorner is usually the parents. Because the parents listen to the scorner and back them up. And that's the number one of the number one problems of the scorner is the parent. The parent has a problem with authority. They don't trust authority. They don't believe authority. And they back up their little, you know, Johnny. And they go to the authority and they say, "You did this to my little baby." You know? And you're just out of line. And they just empower the scorner, okay? And if the scorner would get a few mouthwashes, you know, they probably didn't get very many mouthwashes when they were young. And that's why they're have gotten away. So let's look at Proverbs 14 and verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Okay, so what does a scorner say? The scorner, because they don't have wisdom and they can't find wisdom because of their attitude and their character. Do you think that, so what's the scorner saying? They don't know what they're talking about. That's a bunch of phooey. What's wrong with such and such? And what's wrong with such and such? And what's wrong with such and such? There's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because they don't have any wisdom. They can't see anything. You know what I'm saying? They can't see in front of their face. And so whatever they're taught, they don't see it. They don't get it. Okay? And they're outspoken about it. You know? And so what are they going to say? That preacher isn't always talking about. Why? Because they can't get it. They can't get wisdom. Now, they probably talk that same way about parents, too. You know? And they're the kind of person that calls the dad the old man and the mother the old lady. And what does that mean? That means they don't know what they're talking about. You know? So, then let's go to Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, which dealeth in proud wrath. And, of course, we find that the issue is pride. They know everything. They don't know anything, but they know everything. They think they know everything. And here we have this issue of pride. That's why they can't be taught. They know everything, and so they can't be taught anything. It tells us that discernment, when wisdom enters a person's life, God is able to deliver them from the ways of the froward man. Now let's look at the fool. Okay? He's a part of the words. What are the words of the and the characteristics of the fool? Okay? We're going ahead. The fools. Chapter 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Now, in my opinion, the fool is related to the scorner. He usually is influenced by the scorner. But the fools make a mock at sin. There's some overlapping, but what do the fools say? There's nothing wrong with that. There's
nothing wrong with that.
What's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. And I think we had a good illustration of that on the camp out. I'm trying to think of the verse that we were looking at. That was a really a good verse. We were talking about... maybe you can help me, Dave. Remember the verse that really seemed to make like the... Okay. What's the verse that we were reading about that wasting time in video games? There's in Proverbs 14. Remember which one it was, James? I think I heard you saying something. Is that the one we used? Pardon me? No, I don't remember. But, here's maybe this is the verse. I don't know. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. This Proverbs 14:24. The crown of the wise is their riches. Yeah, I think this is the verse. And you know what it's talking about? Riches are really a tangible result or a tangible accomplishment in life. Okay? A tangible accomplishment in life. But notice what it says. The contrast is, but the foolishness of fools is folly. In other words, it doesn't amount to anything. All right? It doesn't ever amount to anything. All right? And here's this person, and we talked about this. Here's a person who gets good at this video game. And they spend hours at this video game. And they get good at this video game. What are they accomplishing? Nothing. Wasting their time. And they think it's worthwhile. Well, it's not worthwhile at all. It doesn't produce anything. Yeah, it produces a lot of bad things, but isn't producing anything. And you know, a lot of America, the whole idea of life is to do something that is of no value. Jacqueline. Yeah. And you know what? Wasn't it a few years ago that they invented the telegraph? Wasn't that a few years ago they invented the telegraph? And then they invented the telephone. And you didn't have to waste all this time, you know, with the telegraph. You could say in a couple seconds what it took you all this time to write with a telegraph. And now we're going backwards. So now you waste 10 minutes, you know, texting something when you could have called them up and said, hey, are you going to be here? And it's over with. But you know, you think about it, I mean, it's craziness. But look at Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Notice their tongue. They pour out foolishness. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. Oh, man. Goes too fast around here. Proverbs 10, verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Notice the contrast. You know, what do the lips of fools have? They don't have anything. Now, again, what we're saying is that when wisdom enters a person's life, they're going to know the difference between the fool, they're going to know the difference between the scorner. They're going to know the difference between the simple. What is the simple one? You know, the simple one is, duh. You know, the fool, he makes a mock at sin. That's not going to bother. There's no problem with that. And, you know, but the simple, they just don't see. They just don't see. You know, Obama is in office because the majority of people in America are simple. And there wouldn't be any new evangelicalism if the majority of Christians weren't simple. There wouldn't be compromise unless the majority of Christians weren't simple. And I hate to... You know, if you study history, you know, you would find out that that is exactly the truth. When there was a great battle in Northern Baptist convention, I guess it really wasn't a convention, but among the Northern Baptists over liberalism, they had these Christ deniers in the seminaries, and their missions program was doing good because they had all this money and all these churches. And the fundamentalists say, we got to kick them out. We got to get rid of them. And to make a long story short, the liberal said no. The fundamentalist said, let's have a statement that says we believe in the virgin birth, we believe in the inspiration of the Bible, and define it. And the liberal said, hey, no, you know what? Let's just say, have the resolution say, we believe in the New Testament. Let's not be specific. And so it came up for a vote. And the fundamentalists say, we're gonna make them say this line, and if they don't believe it, they're out. And the liberals said, no, let's just say we believe the New Testament. Guess who won the vote? The liberals won the vote by a landslide. Why? Was it because the majority of the people weren't saved in the American Baptist Convention in 1920? No, because the majority of the people were saved, but they were simple. and they believed the words of the liberals. And the same thing is happening today. But it's just guys with different phrases. So the Bible says discretion is a result of fulfilling the seven requirements of studying the Bible. And when it does that, they will be able to recognize the ways of the froward man and the words of the froward man. Okay? Now, let's go back to chapter 2, and we don't have much time to do this other part, which is pretty important. It says, to deliver thee from the way of evil men. And then it says, to deliver thee from, verse 16, the strange woman. The strange woman. Now, I want to just think about a couple things here. I'll just go through this real quick because I want to get to some of these others. The dangers of the strange woman. she has an invitation, but God's people need to separate from her. She's not a blessing, but she's a destruction. She isn't life, but she's death. She's not beautiful, but she's ugly. But you never see those things unless you get discernment. Now notice, what are the marks of the strange woman? Her eyes. Her eyes. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. There's power in the eyes? Yeah. What about her lips? Now, the emphasis is obviously the words. But the strange woman really understands the sensual nature of the lips. Notice her words. 7:21, with her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. With the forcing of her lips, she forced him. With the flattering of her lips. You know what? The strange woman knows how to go after the ego of a man. All man is very egocentric. And a girl that pays attention to a guy makes him do a five flips on the inside. Notice it says, lust not after her beauty. Notice chapter 7, verse 10, she has the attire of a harlot. And she's subtle of heart. She knows the power of her apparel. She has a purpose. Notice this verse, I have paid peace offerings with me this day. This day have I paid my vow. Boy, she's pretty spiritual, right? Pretty pious. Notice the end, 7:23. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Now, I want to emphasize chapter 5, verse 8. Okay, but before we get there, let me ask a question. Where's the strange woman? Where's the strange woman?
TV, magazine, computer, all the streets.
They're everywhere. What are the two most prominent avenues of the strange woman? Three. Internet, TV, movie. Yeah, that I will call that the internet. Internet, TV, and movies. What does the Bible say? 5:8. Remove thy way. What? Far from her. How many Christians are doing that? Most Christians don't take that seriously, do they? You know, well, so many things to say. How many pedophiles are on Facebook? It's full of them. I would doubt that there would hardly be a pedophile that's not on Facebook. That's their fodder. That's their fodder. You see, we're not, number one, we don't recognize the marks of the strange woman. The foolish man does not have discernment. The foolish man can't find understanding. The foolish man doesn't see it. The wise man obeys what God says, remove thy way far from I was just talking to Pastor Van Gelderman the other day. He said, strong statement, he says, I think that the devil, I'm not going to repeat the words exactly, but he said in the line that one of the greatest tools of the devil in this day is the internet. And you can see how the internet is really a great tool of the devil for the last day. You know, a child can see in 1 second on the internet, in one or two clicks, they can see on the internet what they will never see in real life their whole life. Nonetheless, and the fact is this, TV is becoming more acceptable among Christians today, and it's more evil than ever before. And movies are more acceptable today than any day in Christian history. Disney. They asked me if I was against Harry Potter, and I says, yeah. They says, well, do you watch Disney movies? And I said, no. He says, well, at least you're consistent. Remove thy way far from her. Now remember, what's it saying? The person who has discretion and wisdom, what are they going to do? They're going to remove their way far from them. What is the fool going to do? They're going to invite them. Right? So the difference is separation versus invitation. And this is a serious thing. This is a very serious thing. And if parents don't get it, I guarantee you kids won't. They'll be the ones who experience death. Yes. Yeah, go get John R. Rice's booklet published in 1935. Or Robert Sumner's booklet published in 1953. His book on the movies was Hollywood cesspool. And John I. Rice had a booklet written about movies in 1935. I can't remember what the title was. But now, they must have gotten better somehow over the age by being on the shelves. No, I think what happened is society has gotten so much more wicked, our conscience isn't very active anymore. And so God didn't change. He didn't change at all. But our consciences are getting weaker and weaker, and our society is becoming... just think of what happened to society. They allowed the lesbians and the gays to come on TV in 1990. Guess how far we've come in 22 years. And that's how they controlled it. Okay, we got to close. Father, we pray that you'll use the Word of God and that, Lord, we'll realize that this is not a matter of intellectual exercise. This is a matter of obedience or disobedience. It is a matter of life or death. And Lord, we need to get serious about this. And Lord, before we experience, whether it's in our own lives or in our children, the reality of the dart and the destruction that lack of separation takes in lives because we are not studying God's Word like we ought. Pray bless now as we study and as we study these seven requirements of studying the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.